You might be wondering how I found my way out of the dark, enchanted forest after I'd spent so much of the afternoon lost in it. Simple, and you might want to remember this. I just followed Northup Creek in its northerly direction until it joined Wolf Creek, because I knew that it would. And once we made it to Wolf Creek, we were out of the woods, so to speak, and I knew the way home from there. Pretty slick, huh? You bet it was. We waded across Wolf Creek, made our way through the willows in the creek bed, climbed up the sandy bank, and started walking the last quarter mile to the house. It was a triumphant procession, and I could almost hear the marching music in the background. I was out front in the lead, which was only right since I had, well, we needn't dwell on the obvious, but I was out there in front of the procession while little Alfred brought up the rear. I told the boy to pick up his feet and stay in step. I knew we'd draw a crowd, see, and that every eye would be on the returning heroes. And I wanted our little outfit to look snappy and make a deep and lasting impression on the multitude. Very few details escaped my attention, and I noticed right away that Drover, my second in command, didn't sound the alarm or come rushing out to bark at us as we approached the house. The reason he didn't was that he was playing chase and romp with Pete the Barn Cat, which sort of burned me up and introduced the only sour note into what was otherwise a near-perfect ending to an exciting day. It's terrible to be so involved in your work, so devoted to your job that you can't even enjoy a parade without finding flaws and noticing that it ain't perfect. But that's part of the price we pay for being in the security business. Drover didn't pick us up until we were about 100 feet south of the gas tanks. And then it was the cat who saw us first.
My goodness, look what's coming our way. It's Hanky the Wonder Dog and the missing child.
Oh my gosh, Hank's gonna be... I forgot all about... I never should have let you...
He came ripping down the hill, giving off his usual yip, 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 which wouldn't scare a flea. But at least he was making a showing.
Oh, gosh, you're back, Hank. I'm so glad. And I guess you found little Alfred.
Looks that way, don't it?
Did you run into the bobcat?
It was a full-grown tiger. Must have weighed 500-600 pounds.
A tiger?
That's correct. Yes, I found the full-grown tiger. Yes, he was stalking little Alfred. Yes, I gave him a thrashing he won't soon forget. And yes, you missed all the adventure.
Yeah, but I didn't miss it by much. And if this old leg...
Forget the leg, Drover.
What leg?
Your so-called bad leg.
Oh, that one. Heck, I'd just about forgotten about it.
Good. Let's leave it at that. Where is everyone?
Well, let's see.
He sat down and scratched on his ear.
I'm here, and Pete's over there in the yard. J.T. Cluck's up by the machine shed, and...
Loper and Sally Mae, you weed.
Oh, gee, maybe they're out looking for little Alfred, you reckon?
That sounds plausible. They're out looking for the lost child, and you're here at the house playing footsie with the cat.
It was chase and romp, and Pete made me play. He said...
Never mind what he said. Your conduct was disgraceful, and I'll have to put this in my report.
Oh, drat.
And now, if you'll stand back, I will sound the alarm and alert little Alfred's parents that he is safe. I switched my barking alert mode over to manual and went through the all's clear, all's well procedure. Within a matter of minutes, Loper rode his horse out of the creek bottom and Sally Mae popped out of the willows. She was carrying little Molly, the poor child with the lizard face, in a blanket, and she approached us in a rapid walk. Sally Mae did, not Molly. She was a baby. Sally Mae wasn't a baby, Molly was, and she approached us... Oh, forget it. I had seen that walk before, and it made me a little nervous to see it again. See, when Sally Mae gets into that foxtrot, she's usually mad and armed with rocks. I considered racing away from the scene, but decided to stand my ground and risk bombardment. As she approached, I could see that her hair was wet and stringy, and that anger had left its tracks upon her brow, so to speak. Both were bad signs.
Alfred, where on earth have you been? We've been worried sick about you. We thought you were lost. Oh, Alfred, why do you do things like this to your parents?
Alfred hung his head. I did the same and also thumped my tail on the ground. Alfred didn't thump his tail because, well, of course he didn't, because he didn't have one.
I'm sorry, Mom. I went away from home, but I got lost in the woods, and I didn't like it, and I'm never gonna run away again.
After Sally Mae's glare had scorched the boy, she turned it on me.
Did you lead my boy into the pasture?
Huh? Me? Now, wait a minute.
Hank, you scoundrel, I don't know what I'm gonna do with you.
Her eyes went back to Alfred.
Or you.
Back to me.
You're both incorrigible.
Back to Alfred.
Honey, why did you want to run away from home?
Alfred was about to cry again.
Well, you brought home that baby and you didn't want me anymore.
Oh, Alfred, how could you even think such a thing?
She knelt down and gathered him up in her arms.
Mommy loves you very, very much, but for a while, she's going to be busy with your new sister. I'll tell you what. If you'll help me take care of Molly, we can be together and we'll both feel better about it. How does that sound?
She hugged him hard and ran her fingers through his wet hair. Then her glare hit me again.
And don't you ever, ever go off in the pasture with that dog again.
The boy pulled away from her arms.
But, Mom, I went alone and Hank saved me.
I could tell she didn't believe him.
He brought two wolves that came and saved me from a big, huge tiger.
Two wolves? A tiger?
I took this opportunity to study the clouds. The animals in question were coyotes rather than wolves, and the villain in this case had been... Well, maybe Bobcat would have been more accurate, but he was definitely as big as any tiger I'd ever run into. Don't you see? Alfred went on with his story.
And the wolves beat up on the tiger, and then Hank came and wicked my face, and I met a real buzzard.
Sally Mae flinched on that word.
A buzzard?
And I talked to him, and he talked to me.
Loper had ridden up by this time and had stepped out of the saddle. Sally Mae gave him a long, questioning look.
Do you hear what your son is saying?
Yep. Two wolves ran off a tiger and he met a buzzard and Hank did something or other. Sounds like a windy tale to me.
Alfred's little mouth drew up in a pout.
It's not a windy tale, it's true. Hank is my friend, and I want him to sleep in my bed with me tonight.
There was a long silence. Loper shifted his weight from one leg to the other. His horse swished his tail at a fly. Sally Mae rocked Molly back and forth in her arms and studied Loper's face. After a bit, he gave his head the slightest of nods. Sally Mae turned back to Alfred.
All right, just this once, we'll let Hank sleep in your room, but only if you promise never to run away again.
Little Alfred gave a cheer and went flying around in circles. I was about to join him when Sally Mae caught me by a front leg and pulled me back. She spoke to me in a low, severe tone of voice.
Now listen to me, you oaf. I don't know what really went on this afternoon, but I know that you were involved in it up to your ears.
I whipped my tail.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to let you sleep with my child because, for reasons that I don't understand, he seems fond of you.
I whipped my tail. She leveled a finger at my nose.
But if you throw up on my clean floor, or wet on my nice furniture, or dig holes in my sheets, Hank, I swear I'll...
She closed her eyes and shook her head and smiled and stood up.
Oh, they're impossible, both of them. One's just as bad as the other.
Shall I do the honors?
Please, and thank you.
Come on, Hank.
Let's put this horse up and then we'll get to the fun part. I turned to Drover. You see what comes of being a chicken-hearted little mutt? I'm gonna be decorated for heroism in the line of duty, while you stay outside with your friend the cat. No risk, no reward, Drover. And with that, I bid you good night.
Good night, Hank. I'll miss you.
You bet you will. I marched down to the corral beside my master and stood guard at the saddle shed door while he put up his rigging. My head was filled with visions of what was to come. A banquet in my honor. A toast to the head of ranch security. Speeches, applause, adoring gazes. A nice juicy steak bone. What a lousy trick. The so-called honors turned out to be a trip to the bathtub. I was thrown into a tub of scalding hot water, scrubbed with stinking soap and a hard bristle brush. De-ticked, de-fleed, de-dirted, de-scented, almost de-skinned, and darn near drowned. When I crawled out of that dipping vat, fellers, I could hardly stand myself. But cleanliness hath a few rewards. I was allowed to camp out with little Alfred, even slept in the bed with him, which was the first time that miracle had ever happened. And I'm proud to report that I maintained control of all my various bodily processes and fluids, so to speak, and didn't make a single mess. Not one. I know you think I'm lying, but... Oh, there was one small mishap in the middle of the night, but it occurred under the bed, and Sally Mae didn't find it until weeks later. By that time, I was well out of her range. Around here, the endings don't come any happier than that. Case closed.